Hear the word from our Lord from Jeremiah 33, 14 to 16. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. And now our call to worship together is a litany response between from Psalm 25, 1 to 10. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Let none who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are clothed in treachery. Make to me to know your ways, O Lord.
Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation, and I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me, for the sake of goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore the Lord instructs sinners in the way and leads the humble in what is right and teaches them their way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep the Lord's covenant and his testimonies. And now, as we sing our hymn, if you come next week and the week after and the week after, you'll find out. It's a surprise. So how is everyone? Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Yeah. No.
No? Well, I'm thankful you're here, Devin.
I got a big stomach ache.
So, how many of you started to decorate for Christmas? Put up trees, lights?
I already put up my tree.
Awesome. We put up our tree, too.
We just got our tree yesterday.
Cool.
My tree up like a week ago.
Very cool. Well, here in the church, as we prepare for Christmas, we are in a season called Advent. And Advent is all about the coming of Jesus, both remembering when he came and was born as a baby to Mary. And then we also look forward to Jesus' promise to come back. After he died on the cross for our sins and was raised from the dead, he was ascended into heaven, and he's with God the Father right now in heaven praying for us. And so Advent is not just about looking forward to Christmas, but that there's an even bigger Christmas, and that's when Jesus comes back. Well, it's actually a 12-day feast. But some people during Advent have you ever heard of Advent calendars? How many of you remember Advent calendars? They don't have to be the churchy kind. They could be Lego Advent calendars, or they could have chocolates or candy in them.
Oh, Lego Advent calendars.
It's like a countdown to Christmas, right?
I know.
Well, Advent is our countdown to anticipate and celebrate Christ's arrival and his return. And so I have a special gift, kind of like an Advent calendar for us in the church, and especially for the families with children. But all families and singles are welcome to participate in this. And we're going to pass out, this is a great book. It's called the Jesus Storybook Bible. Our family copy has the pages falling out. We've been reading it so much over the years. But there's a reading plan that takes you from December 1st through December 24th. And I wanted to read from you an excerpt that kind of describes where they're waiting for Jesus to come. It's called Get Ready. And it's from Nehemiah 8:10, Malachi 1:3, and Ezra 7. So it's from the Old Testament towards the end. Have you ever been to a party that lasted a whole week? How about a sermon that went on all day? Well, that's what happened to God's people after they came home from being slaves. They had forgotten how God wanted them to live or who they were supposed to be. So Ezra and Nehemiah read them the rules God had given Moses. But something odd happened. The more the sermon went on, the sadder they all got. Why? Was the sermon that boring? No, not really. It was strange, you see. As Ezra read the book of rules, it worked like a mirror. It showed them what they were like, and they didn't like what they saw. They saw that they had not been living the way they should. They saw that they were cruel and selfish. "We've blown it," they cried. "Now God will punish us." They thought they knew what God was going to do, but they didn't. Of course, they might have picked up a clue from Ezra's name, which means help is here. And an even stronger one from Nehemiah's name, because his name means God wipes away our tears. And that, as you'll see, is just exactly what God was getting ready to do. Ezra looked at God's children, great hot tears welling up in their eyes and streaming down their cheeks. He stopped his sermon mid-sentence and shut the book. "We're having a party," he shouted. And that's just what they did all week long. God wants us to be happy, Ezra said. All day, they listened to stories about the wonderful things God had done for his people, how he made the world, how he gave a special promise to Abraham, how he rescued them from slavery, how he spoke to Moses and showed them how to live, how he brought them a special land, how he rescued them, no matter what, time after time, over and over again, because of his never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. They remembered how God had always, all through the years, been loving his children, keeping his promises to Abraham, taking care of them, forgiving them, even when they disobeyed, even when they ran away from him, even when they thought they didn't need him. Then God told his children something more. "I can't stop loving you. You are my heart's treasure, but I lost you, and now I am coming back for you. I am like the sun that gently shines on you, chasing away darkness and fear and death. You'll be so happy. You'll be like little calves running free in an open field. And I'm going to send my messenger, the promised one, the one you have been waiting for, the rescuer. He is coming, so get ready." It had taken centuries for God's people to be ready, but now the time had almost come for the best part of God's plan. God himself was going to come. Not to punish his people, but to rescue them. God was getting ready to wipe away every tear from every eye, and the true party was just about to begin. So that's what Advent is about. God has promised to come and save us, and he does it through his son, Jesus. And so during this Advent, I invite all of our families and members of our church, young and old, we're going to pass out this reading plan, and we're going to email it out. It has these cool little ornaments that you can cut out and put on your tree and take one off each day. And it has the scripture verses and it has from this Jesus Storybook Bible. So if you're really interested in this, I encourage you, pick up a copy. It's either on Kindle or you can get it at a bookstore on Amazon, the Jesus Storybook Bible. I highly recommend it. And I invite you to journey with us as you read through some of these Old Testament stories that prepare us for Christ's coming. Let's pray. God, thank you that you love us. And thank you that you promised to save us. Please help us to be patient and to wait on you to come into our lives through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Next, it comes from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 9 through 13, and this is from the New Revised Standard Version. How can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy that we feel before our God because of you? Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you face to face and restore whatever is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, just as we abound in love for you. And may he so strengthen your hearts in holiness that you may be blameless before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Please rise for our gospel reading. This is from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 through 36. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, distress among nations, confused by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to take place, stand up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Then he told them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Be on guard so that your hearts are not weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of this life, and that day does not catch you unexpectedly like a trap. For it will come upon all who live on the face of the whole earth. Be alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us say thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, help us to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And may our hearts willingly and humbly receive the message of your word today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you look forward to this time of year? Anybody? I look forward to it. I was born in December. I was born on December 8th, 1983. Born on a snowy night, so I like snow and all the things involving the holidays, the time from Thanksgiving to Christmas. And now that I'm older, I even like keeping the tree up a little bit longer through Epiphany into January. One year, how long did we keep the tree up on? We kept it up until like Easter, I think. And there's so many cultural traditions and ancient traditions from the church, but there's just so much going on. There's all the shopping and the bustling and there's a spirit of generosity, but at the same time, there's also kind of a spirit of entitlement, of greed, of impatience. And impatience, that's the one where I tend to fall short of the glory of God many times, and especially this time of year. I hate to wait. I want to figure out what the Christmas presents are under the tree before I open them. I like to play detective. And I'm really bad at waiting. And there's always music and noise. There's Christmas stations now that play 24/7 Christmas carols and holiday tunes. And you keep hearing, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Meanwhile, your neighbor's driving down the road and they're having road rage, or maybe you are, because you have so many places to go and there's not enough time to go to all the stores. And you're working long hours at work and there might be layoffs coming this time of year. It can be a very hectic time of year, very hurried, kind of a frenzy. And yet the church has had a tradition called Advent, where we anticipate the coming of Jesus Christ. We remember and we put ourselves in the story, which is our story. It's God's story. And we're part of God's story. And we remember when the ancient Israelites, between the last prophet Malachi in the Old Testament at the end, and the last prophet of all, John the Baptist, the forerunner of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the start of the New Testament, it was 400 years of basically radio silence from God when it came to answered prayers, when it came to a prophetic word, when it came to God's tangible presence with Israel, aside from the rebuilt Second Temple, which wasn't near as great as the first temple that Solomon built, because they had come back from exile, remember, at the end of the Old Testament. And when they built that second temple, it paled in comparison to the first, that people wept at how disappointed they were. They were even ashamed that they couldn't measure up to the past. So they spent 400 years of waiting in silence. And different groups came in and conquered what we call the Holy Land. Palestine and Israel, Judea, Samaria. And 400 years later, it was occupied by the Romans. And the Jews at that time had kind of their own cultural niche, and it was focused on the temple and the synagogues. But there were some people who were impatient. They were kind of like apocalyptic cults, if you will. And some of them were almost like terrorists or zealots, and they wanted to bring about the Messiah through force and overthrow the government. And they were wiped out and squashed out many times. So there are already false messiahs that were already coming that were not the Messiah. And there was all this anticipation and expectation that the Messiah would come. And we've learned about this in Mark's gospel, as we've learned about Jesus and how they wanted to make him a king, and how they were had a procession for him when he came into Jerusalem, like a king returning from battle, except he came in humble on a donkey instead of on a horse. But Jesus kept showing them that I'm not the Messiah you think I am. And now here we are in Advent, where we kind of go back a little bit. But at the same time, we also go forward in our narrative, because now we're in Luke's gospel today, picking up where we left off last week, where Jesus talks about he's promising to come back again. But before he returns, there's all these things that have to happen. Remember? But wait, there's still more. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and kingdoms rising against kingdoms, and people groups or nations against nations, and signs in the heavens and the earth. Things that are beyond the control of humanity. This is bigger than global warming. He's talking about signs in the heavens and earthquakes. Things that make people tremble and shudder and remember that we're created. That we're not the masters of our domain, but it's bigger than we are. And Jesus has promised to return. And not to come as born the first time, humbly, undercover as a baby born of Mary, which no one saw coming. But he's going to come back in the clouds with glory. But let's look at that promise that God made to us in Jeremiah 33. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill my gracious promise with the people of Israel and Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will raise up a righteous branch from David's line. And this is Jesus. See, during this time, Jeremiah was a prophet to the exiled people of Israel. Israel had been sacked and the temple had been destroyed and people had been taken away, kicking and screaming, seeing family members killed, and they were taken away to be slaves in Babylon. Kind of like the Yazidis, who were taken as slaves by those ruthless terrorists in ISIS. See, Jeremiah was to bring God's word and good news to a people who couldn't see any good news around them. They'd lost hope. And he was called to do the job that no one else really wanted to do, and to help them to remember that God is faithful and that God has not abandoned them. And so he promises of raising up this righteous branch from David's line. And Jesus, we learn later in the New Testament, is a descendant of David through his father Joseph. That he will bring a righteous branch. And here's what he says he will do. Who will do what is just and right in the land. That is, he will bring justice and righteousness. The Hebrew word for justice is mishpat. And justice is all about making things right. Restoring broken relationships. Bringing healing and reconciliation. It's not just about punishment. It's about bringing peace. And righteousness, the Hebrew word tzedakah, like a righteous one, is called a tzaddik. Righteousness is about reflecting and embodying the character of God. God's faithfulness. That God's word is his action, and his action is his word. That you can depend on God. That God would fulfill his end of the covenant with Israel and with the descendants of Abraham and even with Abraham, and also fulfill our end, where we couldn't hold up our end of the bargain, where we fell short of the glory of God. That's why he would send his son Jesus to come and be faithful for us as one of us. So in Advent, we look forward to the coming of Christ, and we wait for Christ to come into our lives and to bring and teach us and show us and shine light in the darkness, to teach us justice and righteousness. And Paul's word for us in Thessalonians gives us another promise. And it's for us. And it's that 1 Thessalonians. Can we bring that up on the slide? The 1 Thessalonians 3. That God will guide our way back to him. That the Lord will cause us to increase and to enrich your love for each other. And for everyone in the same way as we also love you. And he prays that the love of God may cause your hearts and our hearts and to this Thessalonian church he's preaching to be strengthened. To be blameless in holiness before our God and Father. When, not if, when our Lord Jesus comes with all his people. See, God has promised in Christ to bring justice and righteousness and to make us a holy people. That we can be distinctive and set apart for God. That we can love God and love our neighbor. And that we can renounce the evil powers, the wickedness in this world, and reject the evil powers of this world, the principalities, the things like greed and racism, and things that make people feel less than. The lies that we tell ourselves or we believe that we're not good enough. And we repent. We turn from our sin. We turn from our self-deception. We turn from trying to save ourselves, of grasping at the wind. And we turn to God and we wait for Jesus to come in and save us. But the good news, friends, is Jesus did come to save us. That he was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life and he came for us to show us the way how to live. He preached good news to the poor and made recovery of sight to the blind. And set at free those who were oppressed. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. And he ate with sinners. Sinners like you and I. He died on the cross for our sins and made a way. So that when we look to the cross, by his stripes we are healed. See, he's bringing justice and reconciliation. And through him embodying and being God's righteousness. And showing us what it means to be faithful and obedient. Even if the rest of the world or even your friends turn your back on you, he was faithful to God and was willing to die not just for Israel, but for the whole world. Even though
He never did anything wrong. He was the one righteous person. The one person who was always in right relationship with God. And never ran away from suffering. He never tried to escape the pain that we experience as humans. He never tried to brush things under the rug. Ouch. He never tried to brush things under the rug or act like that didn't hurt. He struggled to the point of where he was praying for us and praying to God in the Garden of Gethsemane with sweat and blood coming down from him. He was wrestling for all of us. And then he took the sins of the world upon him. All the yucky stuff that we experience, he took it upon himself so that we wouldn't have to take it on for eternity. And God raised him from the dead and promised that he would come back. And so we look forward to Jesus coming into our lives and coming into our world. But that doesn't mean that this is our escape route and it's like, beam me up, Scotty, take me to heaven. No. The coming of Christ should cause us to look at our lives and to look at ourselves, to look at the way we treat one another, to look at our world, and to look at our place in it. Advent is a time to look within and to look outside and to see where we need Jesus to be and to come and to look for Jesus. Maybe for some of us, this is a time where it's really hard. We're very sad. We've got a lot on our plate. There's a lot of pressure. There's stressful family gatherings. Maybe the bank account's running low. This is a time for us to be still in the midst of this world that's running around hurried in a frenzy. And to be still and wait on God. To wait. The Israelites waited 400 years for Christ to come. The least we can do is to spend some time each day and wait in silence. And to listen and to remember God's promises. For those Israelites that lived 400 years, many of them didn't live to see the Messiah come. It wasn't until generations and generations later. And they didn't have any more prophets at the time. So they had to live by memory of God's promises. They had to live according to his word in the community and how they lived it out together. So it is for us. Jesus could come today. He could come right now. He could come this year. He could come next year. He could come millennia later. But we have the gift of the Holy Spirit and God's words and his promises that he loves us. And he sent his son to die for us. And Advent is about waiting and remembering God's promises. So our response today is what's going to be our response each week this Advent. We're just going to take, each Sunday, we're going to take 100 seconds, and we're just going to wait in silence. And I know it might be awkward, it might be different, but we're going to wait on God. And I want you to ask God, and ask the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, to give you a promise to hold on to, that you can wait on God with, and hold close to your heart. Maybe he'll give it to you right now. Maybe it's in your Bible that's in your hand. Maybe he'll give it to you this week. But just think, as we pray in silence, how am I going to wait on God? And how do I need Jesus to come into my life this year during this time? Let's pray. Lord, we ask for patience. We ask for strength. We ask for faith. We thank you for your promises. Your promises in your word and the hope that we have in both the first and second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us with justice and righteousness and holiness that we can love you and love our neighbor this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Holy Spirit bless you. To share the hope and the love and the joy of Jesus with all around you this week. And may we rejoice that Christ has promised to come and Christ will come. May you shine Christ's light in the darkness this week and love God and love your neighbor. Amen.